Welcome back to Don't Quit Your Day Job. My name is Paul. I am your host, as always. Today, from the Gainesville, Florida area, I have Sarah Patricia from the leftist boot-stomping metal punk band Antagonizer. Sarah, thanks for coming on the show.
Yes, thanks for having me.
For sure. So I first heard about you because of our mutual friend Scott Pash. He put out a record on DCPC Live called Live and Dead Volume 4. How did that record, let's start there. How did that record work out for you? Not, we'll talk about the recording in a second, but how has the response been?
Oh, it's been great. We have a tape release, and the fact that we have something on vinyl has been really exciting for us personally. I mean, I've only had music I've made on vinyl like once, and it was a test pressing on a 7-inch that didn't play properly. So to have a 12-inch that actually plays properly is quite a privilege.
Yeah.
And our supporters are very excited about it as well, because we have some of them who collect vinyl, and it's a unique release because it has, you know, a full live set on it. And if you've seen us live, we do a lot of shit talking, and, you know, it's very entertaining. So to have that on vinyl is pretty great.
Yeah. And it, I will point out to anyone that knows Scott's stuff, it sounds good, like all of his stuff does. And I don't know if I should be surprised at how good your recording sounds in particular. So does that come down to whoever recorded and mastered it for you? Or I mean, your guitar sounds absolutely awesome on it. So that, I think that's the point I want to make.
Oh, well, I thank you. Yes, it is probably partially due to the mixing and mastering by the mastermind Joshua Dobbs of the Danger Room Recording Service. He's the one who does all of the mixing and mastering for us when we record. Mm-hmm. And he does a great job. So he's definitely, you know, partially to blame for that.
And did you, so when you recorded that set and you said, okay, we're going to put this out on DCPC, did you make a point to say, look, we want to keep the between song talking, we want the shit talking on there? Was there any talk about we should maybe cut that out and just keep the songs? Did you talk about that at all as a band?
Oh, hell no. We were like, yes, keep the shit talking. We got stuff to say, okay? So there was no talk about that. That was like, we didn't even think about that. We were like, of course there's going to be banter and shit talking. That's what we do.
Right. How did you meet up with Scott? Let's get that story.
I met him at a music festival.
Okay.
And we know him through mutuals because he's helped other people in the Orlando scene. I mean, we live in Gainesville now, but we're from Orlando. At least my wife and I are. So we knew him through some mutuals down there, and Josh knows him. We're buddies with Josh Jobs.
Okay. So. Okay, cool. Because Scott's a good dude, and he puts out good music, and he works hard for the band. Did you approach him? Hey, can we put out something on your label, or how did that relationship evolve? I guess is my question.
We were approached, okay. And I mean, thank God for that guy, because like, we don't know how to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Putting out a record and everything, we're very DIY. And so, you know, we don't really know how to handle things like that. So, and how to do promotion. So he's been like promoting the fuck out of us. I can swear, right?
Yes, you can. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Yeah. He's been promoting the fuck out of us. So like, we really appreciate that. I mean, dude's a fucking saint, if you ask me, for doing this work for small time musicians, you know?
I think the important thing here is he gets music from bands like yourselves in front of people that might not otherwise hear it. And that's a really difficult thing to do in 2023, 2024, because everybody's got a band, everybody's on social media. It's really hard to break through the noise level. And so before you met Scott, how were you doing that? Just by word of mouth from your live show? I mean, you don't seem like a TikTok sort of band to me. So how have you been doing it?
Nah, man, we're all over 30. Like, I get that there's like 30-year-olds who use TikTok or whatever, but we don't do that shit. So we do have an Instagram account. My wife runs it because I don't use Instagram anymore. And I run the Facebook page, unfortunately. I think they need to take me off the Facebook page because I've been using it to bully people and it's not right. So I think someone else needs to do the social media management other than me. But we do have some social media. Word of mouth is definitely spreading. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Social media is a necessary evil, and like with any band, people fall into roles, right? So someone writes the songs, or maybe the whole band writes the songs, and someone books shows, and someone does t-shirt design or whatever. Are these things that you're sharing as a band? As the band grows and gets bigger and starts having releases, you get pulled in different directions. So how is the band figuring out what makes sense for who's doing the various tasks that need to be done?
So I basically write, I mean, obviously I'm not playing the drums. I'm not writing the drum parts. I'm not writing the bass lines, but like I write the guitar riffs and the vocals and stuff. So I basically write the songs and then the girls add their parts to it. And we kind of share the responsibility of booking shows. Our drummer is in like multiple bands. And so she knows a lot of people, and my wife and I have been musicians for several years, and so we know a lot of people too, and so we all kind of field requests for shows to each other in our wonderful group chat, and we outsource t-shirt designs. Okay. We don't make those ourselves.
Okay.
Zooey sometimes makes flyers for shows. She knows how to do Photoshop and stuff, but I don't know. That's basically how roles are shared in the band.
Right. So have you done extensive tours? I know you've done shows out of state, but is there plans, or have you done longer tours, say a couple of weeks or a month? Is that something that the band is interested in, taking your message to other places?
Oh yeah, we're definitely interested in that. We haven't been out of state. This band has not.
Okay.
I know I personally have been on tour with like other bands of mine out of state, but we haven't done that with this one yet. I don't know about Michelle getting out of state, but she hasn't really gotten to go on tour or anything like that. So we definitely want to do that so she can experience that. And it's just a matter of, you know, when we can make it happen. You know, we all have day jobs, right, and we have careers that we can't just like step away from,
right,
you know, so easily. So we got to figure out a time to make it happen and when we can do it, because we really do want to experience that. One of our thoughts is to play some shows in Asia. So my wife and I go to Taiwan every year to visit her family in Taiwan. We know some punks in Taiwan. So we're thinking of having Michelle come over and play a couple shows in Taiwan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they have connections in Japan, so playing Japan and stuff too. That was something we were actually hoping to do this year, but those plans wound up falling through. But that's something we've thought of, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great idea when you can figure that out, right? Because this push and pull between what real life demands of any of us and what we want to do with our art, right? These are things that we all have to sort out. Speaking of your day jobs, do people in your day jobs know what you do? We'll start talking about the message and the style of music that you play here in a second, but is there any worry about, oh, someone from my other life is going to find out that I do these things, or does it not matter for you?
Oh, for me personally, it does matter, because I don't even want to tell you what I do on a public forum.
Okay.
Because I happen to be in one of those careers that, like, if people did find out about my band and like the things that I say on stage and what my lyrics say and some of the scantily clad outfits that I wear on stage and stuff like that, oh yeah, I get fired. So, you know, think real hard about jobs like that. Maybe you can figure out what I do. I know Michelle, in her workplace, she tells people about it. We've had her coworkers come to our shows before.
Okay.
My wife has also told some of her coworkers, but I can't. I just don't talk about it.
I'm interested in, because the title of the podcast is Don't Quit Your Day Job, right? So the idea that we have to maintain sometimes the separation between what we do as our art and our daytime lives is interesting, right? And I'm interested to know like how you handle what can be stressful in those situations.
Yeah, I, you know, I wish I didn't have to have a day job, but at the same time, like, I wouldn't want to be a professional musician because I wouldn't want to be signed on for, like, things I haven't created yet and say, yes, I'm going to make all these things. They're going to be fucking great. It'll make you money, whatever. I don't want to say I'm going to be able to do all that and then, like, actually have to follow through and do it.
Right.
Because I know a lot of professional musicians, they end up with having these fucking rushed, fucking bullshit, like, albums they don't even like that they put out just because they signed on because they have to do it. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, I kind of enjoy my day job. It's nice, but, like, it's also one of the most stressful, overstimulating fucking jobs you could possibly have. So, I mean, yeah, so.
Right. We'll maintain the separation there. Let's talk about the music. So the first thing that I'll say, and of course I'll drop the links, as everyone knows who listens to the podcast, I'll drop the links so you can check them out. There's a certain intensity with what you're doing, right? There's not a lot of fucking around. You are getting straight to the point. And like I already pointed out, from a guitar player's point of view, your guitars sound great, right? So I think that's important to point out. But you're delivering a strong message. And that's obviously the point, right? That's what your art is to you, is what I'm presuming?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And going along with that idea, is it fun? Because, and that may sound like a trite question, but really the point that I'm trying to make is it can be exhausting to have the message, right? And try to make sure you're communicating the message. But part of the point of being in a band and playing music is fun. So how do you join those two ideas for you as a performer?
Oh, I think all of this is very fun.
Okay.
And actually, it's therapy for me. So part of the reason why we have so much to say, I mean, I have so much to say because I'm fucking pissed off, like, a lot, most of the time, man. So... Right. It's good that we're doing this because this makes me have to, I do have mental issues. I am in therapy, but this makes it so I have to go less. Okay. Because this makes it so I have to go less. So this really helps me blow off steam, makes it so I don't pop off on other people all the time. So I'm very thankful for this. Also, it's fun to say things. I'm a little bit of a contrarian. I'm a little bit of an edgelord. It's fun to piss people off and it's fun to make fun of people. And it's fun to be an antagonizer, you know. I kind of enjoy it.
Right. Yeah. Are people surprised when they hear you? If someone, maybe you go to a new place to play and they haven't really heard you, club owners or whatever, are they surprised when you guys fire up?
Well, this one show we played at the Conduit, I know I surprised the club owner by bringing live animals into the bar. I didn't tell him until after, but I brought in live mealworms to eat on the stage. We were opening for a band called Worms, so it seemed like the right thing to do, okay?
Yeah.
So sometimes we surprise them by doing really weird shit like that. They're probably fucking surprised that we say things that are maybe offensive or might single out crowd members, or might make people uncomfortable, might, you know, ruffle some feathers, I guess. Cause a lot of people aren't doing that. You know, a lot of people want to be liked. A lot of people care what their fans think about them, but we're not doing this for any of our fans or anybody out there. We do it for us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's fun to, be hated in this context. We like having haters. So, you know, I guess some people are surprised. You know, it's probably surprising seeing a bunch of girls be this aggressive and spiteful and, you know, whatever. But
let me clarify, you ate mealworms on stage? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah. How did they taste?
They were actually really tasty. Now, let me tell you, I have a long history of eating insects. I'm actually a passionate advocate for entomophagy, which is the term for eating insects.
Okay, cool.
So I actually prefer larval insects to adult insects. So these larval beetles, because that's what they are, they grow up into beetles.
Okay.
They are far tastier than their adult form. So they have kind of a creamy consistency when you bite through the exoskeleton, and they're delicious. And some of the crowd members and the security guard at the bar ate some with me.
Well, is the taste comparable to something more mainstream that I might know, or no?
I don't know. Let me think about that for a second.
All right.
Like I said, it's kind of creamy. I guess maybe like cream of corn. I've had palm weevil larvae when I was in Peru one time, and that's what I likened it to. It's kind of like cream of corn. It has kind of like a little bit of a planty kind of flavor to it, a little earthy flavor.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you think about, like, I've seen, I think, like, freeze-dried crickets with, like, seasoning on them and things like that.
Yeah. I have some in my pantry.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. They're spicy, hot and spicy ones. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a pretty adventurous eater, but I've never knowingly eaten an insect, I guess is what I will say.
Well, you probably have without knowing it.
Yeah.
And here's a fun fact about me here is that, you know, a day job I want to have one day that nobody can fucking judge me for being in a band for or during is I'm going to open my own insect farm. So I'm going to have a commercial insect farm. It will be my business. Nobody can fire me for being myself.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great. So stay tuned.
Cool.
Yeah, let me know if you want to come have a farm-to-table insect meal.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm pretty adventurous. Most people are that I know anyways are not, but that sounds like something I would do. Let's talk about some of the songs. Again, some of the titles here are Trump Cult and I Hate You, which I Hate You I think is really good. The really fast breakdown-y part reminds me a lot of old SOD from like the 80s. Some of your songs remind me of like Nuclear Assault, again, thrashy stuff from the late 80s, early 90s.
Cool.
And then you have the song Heavy Metal Bootlicker, which is also the name of one of your albums. And that song is so catchy and so good. Like someone could legitimately turn that into a pop song. But I guess my point here is, There's a message to all of these songs. If you like metal, you're gonna like these songs, right? So I'd say
as you're not a bootlicker. Yeah, if you're a bootlicker, you're probably not gonna like it.
Well, the funny thing there is you get people that suddenly realize that Rage Against the Machine are leftist, right? I can't believe yours. You know, I've listened to you for years. You can't possibly have listened to these bands for years if you're just now getting the message. That always astounds me.
Oh, wait, I want to correct something I just said.
Okay.
So I've had people at shows come up to me afterwards and be like, hey, you know, we don't see eye to eye. I don't really agree with some of the stuff you're saying, but I love that you're up there, you know, saying what you got to say. And that's pretty good. The music's great. So maybe some bootlickers actually do like us. That's probably what they're referencing, our comments about the police.
Yeah, so I think that that's cool, right? We need more of that. We can disagree on. Well, I guess there's a line for everything, right? I'm not going to support a Nazi or a fascist or whatever, right? But normal disagreement should be okay. And that gets to the point of my next question here is, I think I already know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Is there concern that you miss some audience because of your message, right? If you soften it a little bit, maybe you get more people to like you, or you just not give a shit.
No, there is nothing soft about this band, okay? We're girls. We have collections of stuffed animals. That's soft enough for us, okay? But there's nothing soft about this band. We don't need their fucking approval, and we get high off their fucking negative comments on the internet and their hatred and their spite. It fuels us to be stronger.
So internet comments, right? Trolls. How often do you get, you know, go back to the kitchen or whatever stupid misogynistic thing that female musicians are going to get?
Oh, you remember how I said that I've been using the band Facebook to bully people? This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, it would probably be better if I didn't, you know, comment back to trolls and people, you know, talking shit or whatever. Like, that's what people could do. But it's kind of fun for me to, like, find this opportunity to rip somebody to fucking shreds.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we were on this flyer for, we're going to be opening for Crypta, which is, like, an amazing,
right,
like, all-female death metal band, and we were on the bit on the flyer with this other band. It was like this like Viking metal band or whatever. And one of the guys from the band, he shared it on the internet, and I was like, I was getting notified of some of the comments on the flyer, because we were tagged in the post, and someone said like, all these bands suck, but the girls are hot. And I was like, I came at that guy, and I came at the guy from the Viking band too, because he laughed at the comment. And so I told him, you know, fuck you, we don't want to play a band with a bunch of fucking Viking posers anyway. And so sometimes I do engage with the trolls, but I think I'm going to stop because it's not worth my energy.
Well, it's not worth your energy. And there's also the push and pull, right? Again, if we start to think about success or growth of the band or trying to reach some of the ideals, it's hard to... Doesn't it get exhausting to fight all the time, I guess, is really the question.
Yes, we do have fight in us, but some fights are not worth fighting. So I think that for the most part, fighting with internet trolls is not worth fighting.
Right. It's hard to be productive.
That Viking
there.
Poser, yeah. And I got his band kicked off the fucking show. So
so there's another measure of success. When you win the fight,
that's success.
Yes, agreed.
But no, like, what do you mean by success, though? Does that mean, what do you define a success for a band for you? I probably have a different definition.
Well, that's the whole point here, is that the artist gets to define what is success, right? So every artist that I've had come on the show, the success for them is always different for every band. So when you think about Antagonizer, have you already measured success? Are you thinking about what success means for the future? What does it mean for you?
Okay. So I would say that we are already quite successful. In fact, I would say this is the most successful band I've ever been in my life. And I've been in a bunch of bands. I've been a musician for over 10 years. And I would say because we have a record out, because we have received so much wonderful feedback from people, so much like genuine excitement from people when they hear our music, when they see us play, because what we're doing is very different than a lot of other stuff that's going on. At least that's what the feedback that we've been getting, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's exciting people. And also I would gauge our success by the fact that we are now receiving band mail. Okay. Wow. We got a fan letter. We all live in the same house. Okay. The whole band, we all live under the same roof now in the Antagonizer hut. We got a letter sent to us from somebody that said, like, thank you for making the music that you're making. Thank you for saying these things that a lot of us are thinking, but, you know, don't say out loud. Thank you for, you know, putting these messages forward and speaking your fucking minds.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's cool.
So, like, we are successful. We already feel very successful. We don't want to be, like, a big time fucking band or anything, you know, like that's not like what we're going for or whatever. If that happened, I feel like it probably wouldn't be the best. I don't know, but it would be nice to like have more people hear our music and know about us, I guess.
Yep. And I think doing things like you did with Scott Passion, DCPC, I think these are things that get you in front of people. I mean, that's why I heard you because Scott put out your record. So I think that that's cool. I do want to ask, you're wearing a Morbid Angel shirt. The Morris Sound, Tampa Bay, early death metal scene is something that I'm a fan of. Does any of that seep into what you ladies are doing, like the Obituary sound or Morbid Angel?
So not really with this project, but we are all in a death metal band together. Also with other people.
Right.
It's called Necrophila. It's a new project that's starting to take off. There's nothing online. We've just been demoing and writing songs and stuff like that. So I have been writing all the songs for that, playing guitar, doing vocals, Zue playing bass, Michelle on keyboards.
Nice.
And we have our drummer from our old black metal band in Orlando, Rosalie out of Orlando, and then we have a guitar player from Gainesville up here playing with us. So we do play death metal, just not in this project. We are channeling like other subgenres of metal with this project. Right, I guess you could say we're doing like the kind of like old school heavy metal, a little bit of thrash metal, stuff like that, but not really like death metal, I wouldn't really say.
Right. I would say that Antagonizer is definitely more metal than punk, at least to me. It has punk energy, but your guitar sounds like a metal guitar to me. And
interesting.
And, yeah. And so that brings me to the point, you know, you mentioned your wife, Tsue, right? Am I saying that right? I desperately want to say that correctly. Okay, cool. So she plays bass. Do you get, well, you guys are pretty good for girls, right? How often do you get that sort of shit?
So that comment in particular, like not that often.
I mean, people might be afraid to say it to you once you play, right?
Oh, well, they fucking should be, because I've heard that kind of shit before.
Yeah.
And like, I ain't got no tolerance for that. So yeah. I think most people are probably too scared to say stuff like that to us. One time we had a guy say after our set, we stopped playing and he was like, that was cute. So I was like, yeah, I think that's the wrong adjective to describe this music, sir. Right. But, no, most of what we get is just like, I don't know. We haven't really been getting a whole lot of like sexist bull crap with this band. I think that's mostly because we play a lot of punk shows and like there's like a little bit less. It's not all gone, but there's a little bit less sexism in the punk scene than there is in the metal scene, at least presently. It's still an issue, but like, I mean, don't talk to me about my days playing as a solo female black metal artist. That was interesting. Some of the feedback that I got, some of the mansplaining I got about how to improve my gear situation, improve this, and you know.
The metal scene, I feel like, is more gatekeepy in general than the punk scene, although the punk scene can certainly have its fair share of that. Are you guys comfortable playing either punk or metal shows or a pop show or whatever?
Yeah.
Were you happy? You're happy to just do whatever?
Hell yeah. But I will say, like, after spending so many years exclusively in the metal scene and not really playing punk music or in punk bands, I'm so happy to be back at punk shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, watching, like, metal shows, there's just so many dudes, and, like, maybe they are genuinely enjoying themselves, but they're not, they don't look like it. You know, they're just standing there with their arms folded, you know, like, glaring at you, like, obviously just waiting for you to fucking make a mistake, you know, so they can be like, oh, I'm a better guitar player than this person. Oh, look at them making a mistake, you know. It's like people actually, like, moshing and, you know, having fun and participating in the show. So, like, I really appreciate that. I mean, some metal shows we go to, people do participate, headbang, you know, go crazy and stuff like that. That's cool, too. But, you know, it's very refreshing to be back in the punk scene. Oh, my God.
Cool. Very good. Well, as I said, I will drop all the links. People should definitely check out Antagonizer. There are a couple of different Antagonizers. So it's Antagonizer with an O with an umlaut at the end. Z-O-R-O with the umlaut. I want to thank Sarah Patricia for coming on the show and talking about everything that they're doing. I wish you nothing but the best. You guys deserve it. It's the music is refreshing is the way that I'll describe this. Thanks a lot for coming on the show, Sarah.
Why, thank you. It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.